astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ.
Well, good morning. It is really good to be back here. You know, it's hard to believe that I've been gone. You guys know how many years? It's been 7 years. Some of you have grown up so much that I don't even recognize you anymore. Some of you are now engaged. You know, I have missed Pacific Grace very, very much. You know, this is the first church that I pastored at, and even though it is in a completely different building, you know, I have many fond memories of this. And to me, this is kind of like one of my spiritual homes. And I also know that this is the 30th anniversary of Pacific Grace. And my wish, my prayer for you is to continue going for another 30, 60, 100 years preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that this church will make a very great impact on this community. And I just want to begin with prayer. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for Pacific Grace. Thank you for the work that you've done in this church. Thank you for the people that have grown up here. And Lord, we pray that you will continually use this church to further your kingdom. And Father God, we ask that you speak to each one of us now, that you quiet down our hearts, that you take the distractions away, and concentrate on what you are saying to us. And pray all these things in your most precious and most wonderful name. Amen. Now this morning I want to talk about change. Now many things have changed since I moved away. When I left, BC Place was a dome. Now the inflatable roof is gone. When I left, the Vancouver Canucks were okay, so-so. Now they have the best record in the league and a serious shot at the Stanley Cup, and up until just a few days ago, I thought that they would be playing the most storied franchise in NHL history, the Montreal Canadiens, for the Cup. But alas, that is not the case. Changes happen all the time. When I left, Pacific Grace was on Francis Street, and actually this morning I drove by there just to get a glimpse of the old church building. And now Pacific Grace meets here. Changes happen all the time. But I'm also hoping that there's been change in each one of our lives, that our love for the Lord continues to grow, and that we are not the same person that we were yesterday, last week, or even last year. I hope that in a year's time, that we will not be the same person that we are today. I hope that we would even be more Christ-like. And over the last 10 years or so, reality TV has made it big during the prime time spots at night. In some way, this has helped the networks, because for these types of shows, they did not have to pay the big times actors and actresses, but casted regular everyday people like you and me. There were shows like Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, and in 2002, ABC began airing a show called Extreme Makeover. The show depicts real-life people, both men and women, undergoing an extreme makeover involving plastic surgery, exercise regimes, hairdressing, and wardrobing. Each episode ends with a person returning to their families and friends, and then it shows the reactions of their loved ones who have not been able to see the person before they started their makeover. And oftentimes, this person looked quite different, and in the opinion of family and friends, usually for the better. There was usually an outpouring of joy and emotion, because people thought that the now transformed person would be able to live a better and fuller life. In 2003, Extreme Makeover Home Edition aired. This show proved even more popular and more successful than the original. In this show, a family's house, including all the rooms, exterior, and landscaping, is made over by a team of builders and designers in 7 days while the family goes off on a vacation of sorts. And when the family came back, it was like they had a brand new home. And once again, 9 out of 10 times, the family is overjoyed because their new home is so much better than the last. Changes, extreme changes, hopefully for the better, is something that we all want. We all want to look better, live better, be better than we are now. And these reality shows gave their participants what they thought would be a better lifestyle. Someone is dissatisfied with their looks, and then several doctors, some exercise gurus, some fashion experts get a hold of them, and voila! They've been changed into someone stunningly beautiful in the eyes of the world. And that's the same with the home. Knock down a few walls, add a few more windows, and voila! A new home. When it comes right down to it, though, there are no easy answers to getting the change that we desire in our lives. Even in the reality TV shows involved operations and changes in exercise, diet, and clothing habits. Real life changes involves work, and we want the type of change in our lives that will transform our lives. We will need so much more than just a TV show. We need to allow God and the Holy Spirit to work through us. But when we do, we will experience real and extreme makeover. Now, some of you may have heard of a guy by the name of Nicky Cruz. He was born in Puerto Rico in the late 1930s. As a child, he was raised by parents who practiced witchcraft and who mentally abused him. His father was a witch doctor, and his mother would call him Son of Satan. Son of Satan, they called him. The neighborhood in which they lived was one of the worst in Puerto Rico, and Cruz was always getting into trouble, so much that at the age of 15, his family sent him away to live with his older brother in New York City, Brooklyn, to be exact. And if one is familiar with New York City, one would know that parts of Brooklyn, in many ways, is very dangerous gang territory, and was into one of these districts that Nicky moved. Before long, Cruz ended up joining one of the biggest street gangs, known as the Mau Maus. He moved up the ranks quickly and soon became the gang's warlord. This position was important because he was the leader of the gang. He was the guy who met with other gang leaders and scheduled the turf wars. He was the guy who headed up robberies and orchestrated the killings. At age 18, one of his best friends and fellow gang members died in his arms during a gang fight. And that hurt him a lot. But it was the beginning of his extreme makeover. I first heard about Nicky Cruz when I watched a movie which chronicled his transformation, The Cross and the Switchblade. Some of you may have seen the movie or may have read the book. A pastor by the name of David Wilkerson was preaching in Cruz's gang territory. And while Wilkerson was walking in the street, he just bumped into Cruz. And Wilkerson tried to tell Cruz about Jesus Christ, but Cruz threatened to kill him. And undeterred, Wilkerson, he showed up at the Mau Mau headquarters where Cruz actually hit him and knocked him down. 2 weeks later, Wilkerson was back in the area to speak in an evangelistic meeting. And when Cruz heard about this, he planned to teach this preacher a lesson. And with some of his gang members, they went down to the rally to do some serious harm to this pastor. And when they arrived, though, Cruz, in his own words, said something strange happened to his body. He started to shake and to feel guilty about things he had done before, and he started to pray. He met up with Wilkerson. But instead of trying to kill him, he asked for forgiveness. And on that night, with Wilkerson explaining the gospel message to him, Nicky Cruz accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And the extreme makeover, it continued the following day. Cruz went down to the police station, turned himself in, along with all his weapons. He began to study the Bible and eventually returned to school. He studied theology and became a pastor himself. He returned back to his old neighborhood where he preached and even persuaded some of the Mau Maus to accept Jesus. He became the founder of Nikki Cruz Outreach, which is a program that helps teenagers with troubled lives. He's the founder of Halfway Houses, which help in the rehabilitation of drug addicts. He ran TRUCE, which stands for To Reach Urban Children Everywhere. That's an organization that plans to invade every major gang-infested city in the United States. He has written a number of books about his own life, and he continues to preach all over the world. From a gang warlord to an evangelist, that is what I call an extreme makeover. One made only possible by God. Now, our lives may not be as sketchy as Nikki Cruz, but if we look closely at it and we analyze the things that we do, the thoughts that go through our heads, the feelings and the emotions that we sometimes feel, we know that we are due for some sort of a makeover too. One that may not be possible with our own strength, but one, if we allow the Lord to completely take over, may change our lives as well as those of many others around us. And this morning I want to share a passage that most of us may be familiar with. It's found in Acts chapter 9, where we witness the extreme makeover of arguably the most well-known missionary of all time. This is the story of the transformation of Saul, or Paul, as we now know him. His extreme makeover is so complete that he even had to change his name. God reaches out to him and touches him in such a way that the entire world changed. And God can change us too. He can take a high school student and transform that person to be a missionary. He can take a person who is stuck in a dead-end job and transform that person to be a full-time minister. He can take a person who is suffering from a serious illness and heal them. He can take a person who is down and out, depressed at how life has been treating them, and bless that person with a wonderful life. All these things are possible if we let him. So what does this extreme makeover entail? Well, firstly, extreme makeover requires getting our attention. Now, in our scripture reading this morning, we see that God really got Saul's attention before his extreme makeover. Saul was born a Jew, but because of this, he had a deep love and appreciation for the Jewish faith. Saul also was a Roman citizen, having been born in Tarsus in Asia Minor, which was part of the Roman Empire. So he was well-versed in both the Aramaic and the Greek languages. And when it came to his faith, and this was a man who was passionate about his beliefs. He was a Pharisee, and he knew the Hebrew scriptures in and out. He was the up-and-coming star, having studied under the most respected rabbi of the day, Gamaliel. In fact, he was so zealous for what he believed that if one did not agree with him, he believed that the person should be put to death because of the heresy. Most scholars believe that he was the mastermind behind the martyr of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Saul was a religious terrorist. Saul lived by a code, a very strict code. If they followed Jesus, they were a heretic, and they had to be removed, beaten, placed in jail, or killed. So he began his mission of persecuting Christians, and it just consumed him. And here in Acts chapter 9, he gets permission from the high priest to go to Damascus to seek out these so-called Christ followers and bring them back to Jerusalem as prisoners. Now, that's a 300-mile round trip. And remember, back then, there was no motorized vehicles in those days. I mean, that would be a long and very tiring journey just to get the Christ followers. He describes them as those who belong to the way. And to Saul, the way was a cult, when in reality, it was a term that was used to describe the early church by the early church themselves. The early church probably called themselves that because they viewed themselves as following the true way in the larger Jewish community. Anyways, it was on the road to Damascus that the Lord got Saul's attention. Man, he knows how to get our attention. In order to receive the extreme makeover, he needs to get our attention. With Saul, he sent a light from heaven that made him fall to the ground. Jesus then speaks to him directly, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul knows it's the Lord. He doesn't know the Lord personally yet, but he knows that this voice is the Lord speaking. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And the transformation began. Flat on the ground, blinded and flung down, it was time for Saul to truly listen. Transformation begins when we're face to face with the Lord. The flash of light brought Saul to his knees. Now, what is our flash of light? What is the Lord doing to get our attention? What method is he using to start our makeover? Is it financial difficulties? Or a broken heart? A sickness? Unexpected change of plans? A career move? And so on and so on. Now, each one of us is unique. So God will speak to us in different ways, but we need to be aware that he is trying to get a hold of us. And then we need to allow it to happen. We should not be upset or bitter that the Lord is trying to change us, but we need to embrace it and start doing something about it like Nikki Cruz did. We all meet Jesus in different ways, but if we have him as our Savior, we have met him and entered into a personal relationship with him. Jesus said that eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ. Now, God has used many different ways and different people to get my attention. He used my family, especially my mother, to introduce me to Jesus and to meet him face to face. He used a preacher at a conference to call me into ministry. If you've heard my testimony, as I think many of you have, he used an overturned car on a lonely stretch of highway to remind me of that calling. And he has used numerous people to encourage me and affirm and confirm that what I am doing is what God wants me to be doing. And perhaps we too are being used by God in helping people meet God. Perhaps in God's foreknowledge, he has placed someone's life place us into someone's life to get their attention, to bring them to God, or to bring them closer to God. So we need to take every opportunity to uplift the Lord and to point others towards him and to help some of them in their walk with the Lord. Perhaps we are their flash of light. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord uses a man by the name of Ananias. When Saul gets up after being knocked down by the flash of light, and he was blind. He could not see a thing. The Lord instructed Saul to continue to go to Damascus, and then he will be told what to do. But because he was blind, the people who were traveling with him actually had to lead him by hand. For 3 days, Saul did not eat or drink. Now, the Lord had spoken with Ananias to go and help Paul. To help him was probably very confusing also to Ananias. It was also a confusing time for Paul. Now, Ananias was a wise choice, for he's a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. And that was how Saul, or Paul, described him in Acts 22:12. Now, at first, Ananias is hesitant. He says in verses 13 and 14, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." Ananias knew that if he went to Saul, he could be imprisoned or even killed. But after the Lord explained in verse 15 that he would use Saul as his chosen instrument to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, Ananias went immediately. He placed his hands out to Saul. Something like scales fell from his eyes, and Saul could see again. And hence, his transformation continues. The Lord got Saul's attention by the flash of light, but he also used Ananias to continue that transformation. If the Lord calls us to go alongside someone to help them continue or begin their walk with the Lord, even if it is someone we may not like or even afraid of, my prayer is that we will, because we may be part of the process for the Lord to get that, to get the attention of that person. Extreme makeover requires getting our attention. Secondly, extreme makeover requires willingness. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, getting our attention is the Lord's part. He gets our attention through circumstances and people, but then it is our part to respond in obedience. And are we willing to do that? After the Lord got Nicky Cruz's attention, he turned himself into the law. Then he devoted himself to the learning of the Word of God, came back to his old turf, and led some gang members to the Lord. Nicky Cruz was willing to obey the Lord after he got his attention. Saul, after his dramatic encounter with the Lord, got baptized in verse 18. And once he regained his strength and started to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God in verse 20. Now that is quite a makeover, seeing that just a few verses earlier, he was looking for Christians to imprison. Saul, after the Lord got his attention, was willing to obey the Lord and preach the gospel. Now last week was Easter, was Resurrection Sunday. At my church in Calgary on Good Friday, I had the privilege of baptizing 11 people whose lives were transformed to the point where they were willing to publicly declare their allegiances to the Lord and then get held underwater and be dunked for the Lord. Now, in their testimonies, I heard how the Lord got their attention and how they responded. And I encourage everyone here who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but have not been baptized, to seriously consider it. It is a way of saying to everyone, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want you in my life, and I want everyone to know about it. In verse 18, it says that after Paul regained his sight, he was baptized. According to the text, he got baptized even before he ate. Remember, he had not eaten for 3 days. He was hungry and he was weak. But before he ate, he wanted to get baptized. Now, after the Lord had gotten his attention, Saul was willing to be baptized immediately, even before he had regained his strength physically. Are we willing to respond as well? Now, I'm very excited as to what is happening this summer in terms of missions. Now, on Friday, a number of people from this church, including Pastor Xavier, flew to Ghana, Africa. It is even more exciting for me because in a few months, I'm leading a short-term mission team to the exact place where the Pacific Grace team is right now. When they come back, Pastor Xavier will fly to Calgary. He'll share with us what they've learned and what we may expect. Our two teams are basically the same. We have a number of people who are leaving the comforts of their everyday lives and are traveling to do the work of the Lord. Now, being on the mission committee at my church, I've had the opportunity to sit down and chat with all my team members. And it's been very exciting because as I hear their story, I see how the Lord initially got their attention, and now how they are willing to do something about it. And even though most of us here will not be going overseas, to Ghana or other places, we can still be part of the support team. We can pray for those who are traveling right now. We can help financially. That there's cost in traveling overseas. And if the Lord has placed it in your heart to support in this manner, Are we willing to act on it? We can find out more about the work and the prayer requests of each of the individuals so we know how to pray for them. Now, this is a group of brothers and sisters who are willing to do missions for the Lord. Are we willing to come alongside them and do our part as well? An extreme makeover requires willingness and obedience to the Lord at all costs. In 1868, the British sent a military expedition into Ethiopia. It was an expedition that mostly went unnoticed. It was hardly ever mentioned in any of the history books, but because of the monumental logistics of this campaign, military historians have compared this expedition to the Allies' invasion of France in 1944. For 4 years, Emperor Theodore III of Ethiopia held a group of 53 European captives, 30 adults and 23 children, including some missionaries, in a remote 9,000-foot-high prison deep in the interior of Ethiopia. Queen Victoria of England pleaded in vain to release the captives. And finally, the government ordered a full-scale military expedition to march from India into Ethiopia, not to conquer the country and make it a British colony, but simply to rescue this tiny band of civilians. The invasion force, get this, the invasion force included 32,000 men, heavy artillery, and 44 elephants to carry the guns. Provisions included 50,000 tons of beef and pork and 30,000 gallons of rum. Engineers built landing piers, water treatment plants, a railroad and telegraph line to the interior, plus many bridges. And all of this to fight one decisive battle, after which the prisoners were released and everyone packed up and went home. The British government spent millions of dollars and time and energy and resource to rescue a handful of captives. Man, they knew the risks involved. They knew the costs that had to be incurred. Yet they were willing to do something about it. They went to war to save a small group of people. And we too are at war. As followers of Christ, we are at war. It may not be against a country. In reality, it's not even a war against people, but it's a spiritual war. It is against unseen forces, as outlined in Ephesians chapter 6. It is a war in which God got Saul's attention and transformed him from a Jesus hater and murderer of Christians to one who would preach the gospel and be imprisoned himself to do the work of the Lord. And that same war continues. If we are Christians, if we are Christ followers, we are at the heart of this war. And are we going to war? A few years ago, I went to a pastor's conference in Three Hills, Alberta. One of the speakers spoke about this warfare that we are in. He said that many of the worship courses and the sermons today talk about our intimate relationship with the Lord, which is great. But oftentimes we gloss over the fact that we are at war. He then quoted a hymn that I grew up on. He said, we don't sing hymns like this anymore. He's talking about a hymn called Onward Christian Soldiers. Some of the lyrics go like this. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. We are at war. Are we willing to go into battle? An extreme makeover requires a willingness. And finally, extreme makeover gives grace and forgiveness. It gives grace and forgiveness. Now, this is the beauty of it. No matter what we've done in the past, no matter how ugly we feel, no matter how much sin is etched into our sick human bodies, we can have this extreme makeover. Now, over the course of my ministry, I've come across people who have felt so depressed, so angry, so bitter that some of the things that they have done or some of the things that others have done to them. Some have thought that their lives were so sin-stained that they could not obtain forgiveness, and they beat themselves up over and over and over again. There was no way that they could obtain this extreme makeover, they thought. And they are right, to some degree, until we see who it is that gives us that makeover. It is Jesus who gives us this extreme makeover. Because of what he did on the cross, dying for our sins, and what we celebrated last week on Resurrection Sunday, every single one of us can receive that makeover. And it is because of this makeover that offers us grace and forgiveness. And I know that in every congregation, some of us are hurting right now. Maybe even this past week, we've done some things that we're not proud of. Maybe we feel guilty. Maybe we feel hurt. Maybe we are frustrated or angry. However we may feel, whatever it is that we may have done, we may receive grace and forgiveness if we allow the extreme makeover to transform our lives. Paul did. Listen to some of his writings. I'm going to quote some of the things he says in the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 and 16, he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life." And this is what he says in Galatians chapter 1. "For you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted now is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me." In Paul's transformation, he received grace and forgiveness. In his own words, he called himself the worst of sinners. And if God can transform the worst of sinners, he can definitely do the same for us. Where are we in our walk with God? Are we close to him? Do we feel distant? How is God trying to get our attention? And are we even trying to listen or watch for him? And if he has gotten our attention, are we willing to do something about it? Now, everyone can be transformed. Nikki Cruz was. Saul, Paul was. You and I can be. Even our most hated, worst enemies can change. Now, we need to continue to pray for people like Osama bin Laden and so on, for they can change too. And as I said earlier, perhaps we are the ones who have been called to be part of the transformation process in someone else's life. So let's go to war. Let's be a part of the victory in this battle for the Lord. Shall we pray? Father God, Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the story in the Bible, your words, which shows the transformation from Saul to Paul, shows that an extreme makeover is possible in anyone and everyone. And Father God, as we are sitting in this church building today, and as we have listened to your words, we pray that you will continue that extreme makeover in our lives. And Lord, we know that things aren't always easy. In fact, they are sometimes tough. But in order for us to change, Lord, may we be obedient to you getting our attention. And may we go forth and do whatever it is that you want us to do at all cost, by all means. Pray all these things in your most precious name.